Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bureau Briefing. Before we get to the show, there are a couple of companies we really want to thank. Our sponsors. 10,000 Feet. You know, if you haven't checked them out lately, you need to check them out. They make this simple but powerful software, and it just helps you make confident decisions about what's going on with your projects and your teams. Also, MailChimp. MailChimp has been an amazing supporter of the Bureau community since day one, and they are everywhere we go, and they just love digital agencies. And you need to realize they're not just an email tool, and they're not just a marketing automation tool. They're a second brain for your business. They can give you insights, and they can help you automate your e-com store. It's just amazing. So make sure and check out MailChimp as well. And now, let's get on to the show.
Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Welcome to the Bureau Briefing. This is part one of a two-part series about the origin of Fly Media Productions, a company run by Ruben and Sherry Johnson, who, when they started, didn't even have a computer. Just fathom that, starting a digital agency without a computer. So let's listen into this first part, and then we'll be back in our next episode to listen to part two. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy it. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bureau Briefing. Today, we are starting a series called Origin Stories. And the reason for this is two friends of mine who I believe I met on social media and then actually got to meet in person at Owner Summit recently in Charleston, South Carolina, Ruben and Sherry Johnson. I just have to say they inspired me. We ended up talking one night, and they were sharing their stories of how they got started with Fly Media Productions, their company. And I was like, I've got to get them on the briefing, and I've got to share their story. And if there are other stories out there like this, I just think we need to know them. So welcome to the Bureau Briefing, Ruben and Sherry Johnson. How are you?
Hey, Carl. Wow, that
is... Origin Stories is such an awesome, awesome idea. Like, those are my favorite movies. Jeremy, my son, always gets... He laughs at me because he's like, you only like the origin stories. I'm like, but they're the best part.
They are, right? Yeah. It's like, after the origin stories, you just have to keep going. But yeah, the getting there part, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Go ahead. I was going to say, it's a pleasure to be here. It's like, this is amazing to us. This is amazing. So happy to talk to you.
So tell me, and everybody listening is like, Carl's really excited today. tell me, how did we meet? Was it through Twitter?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I know, like, I had known about the Owner Summit and that. And the whole Bureau of Digital, and I don't know how I found that out. I'm assuming I found it out through like either the Expression Engine Craft CMS community or through the Mike Montero video with "Fuck You, Pay Me" with Gabe Levine. I don't know. It was somewhere around that time I came across a lot of that, and we had always wanted to like go to one of those conferences, and so we consumed like so much of what y'all had put out, and we kind of did that thing when we reached out. I guess we reached out on Twitter or something. And I think that's kind of how it started.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember seeing your photo and you just updated it.
Yes.
And I love how you're still paying homage to the old one. it's like, you know, and Ruben, you better be in behind Sherry. I mean, like, that's the way that's going to go. Let's just make sure we know it. But it was so funny because when I first saw the photo, I was like, well, who are you? And I started checking out Fly Media Productions. I started looking at the work that you were doing. And, you know, it's funny because, Ruben, you call yourself a hip hop surfer. I don't know if you still remember that you got that in there.
Right? Yes. Yes, I do.
and you say, I think that Sherry is an urban hippie, but Sherry doesn't call herself that. right?
I did. I actually was the one who came up with it originally. He's like, I love that. That is so perfect for you.
And she didn't want to use it
and
before.
Then he's all proud of it. So he's like, I'm going to put it everywhere.
Well, see, and I used to say I was a short-haired hippie, right? Because it was just like, it's hot in Florida. I can't have my hair that long. But then you also put up there digital storyteller and some of these other things. So let's just back up, first of all, to when the two of y'all met. And like, what were each of you doing? Like, how long have you known each other? And then we're gonna move forward into kind of Fly Media and how that got started. So Sherry, you tell the story of how the two of you met.
Me? Oh, geez. No.
Sherry's clutching her chest. She's like on the spot. This is awesome.
Oh, my God. I don't like being on the spot. Where to start? Well, we met in 1995.
Ooh.
And we met, how did we meet? We kind of met through his brother, who I met at a party. And then his brother and my sister kind of got together. And then we went to a party at his house. And Ruben was supposed to be there. And his brother introduced us and all that stuff. So that's kind of how we got a real quick, how we got our like,
I wasn't at that party though.
No, you were supposed to be there. You were supposed to be there. So I was there with my younger sister and her friends in the hopes of meeting Ryan's brother.
Which did not happen. You got lucky for a second chance, Ruben.
Yes. Oh my God. Like they say, thank God for second chances.
Yeah. And we had met a couple of times at some different parties. And he was always with other people. And I thought he, like, we kind of met. And when I say met,
right,
we were introduced to each other. But we really didn't have any conversation at all. He was always with somebody else. And I think one of the times he was with a couple girls, and I just assumed he was with one of them. And I just kind of went about and did my thing. And then how we actually started talking was at a Bible convention, which is, of all places today, the weirdest thing.
Well, there you go.
But that's a big part of our history and our background. But anyway, we kind of both like bumped into each other there, and we were, I think, like throughout the session, we were like, we're gonna go talk to this person. And towards the end of the session, before the day was over, I was on my way to find him. So I'm like, I'm gonna have a conversation with this guy. I gotta like say something. And he was walking around, and his friend bumped into me and was like, hey, that guy wants to talk to you, because he had a limp. It wasn't like high school or anything.
Right.
He was on crutches, and he's like, that guy wants to talk to you. I'm like, what? So then we just started walking around and talking, and we just connected like right away. We talked for hours, and then like he called me 2 days later, which that was a little bit of a long time for me.
I'm with you.
I thought the conversation went really well, and 2 days was like, what? Yeah. But anyway, I like to say he called me 2 days later, and then he called me every day after that.
Oh. Well, so
and then we got married.
It's like five or six months later.
Yeah.
5 months later, right?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. You've been married for over 20 years.
Yeah.
It moved really fast.
It moved really quick. And
we just knew,
like, I told her, like, I was telling her I wanted to get, I knew I wanted to get married. What was it, like, 2 weeks we were talking about getting married. It was like, I just, like, was very much just laid it all out on the table.
Yeah, and I was 18, he was, like, 21?
No, 20.
Almost 21.
Yeah.
Almost 21.
When we met, I was just, like, 20.
Yeah, when he first told me he loved me, I said, I think I love you too. I think I'm falling in love with you. I was scared to death that it was moving too fast. I was like, and I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I was like, if I don't really love him, I'm going to break his heart. So I'm like, I'm falling in love with you too.
Remember when you showed me in your diary years later how you had written that? Mm. You said, I was too afraid to say what I really felt. I was actually in love with him. So I just said, I think I'm falling in love.
Yep.
That's wow. Funny. A little cognitive distance there, right?
It's like, you know, I think I could be possibly falling close to where love may be.
Yeah.
So 20 years ago, over 20 years ago, y'all meet, you get married like right away. What were each of you doing? So you're in your early 20s, and Ruben, I don't know if you were around that same age, but were you working? Were you doing anything of that nature? Or like, what was your life in terms of like your job or whatever?
That's a good question. When we first met, I was working towards being a partner with a guy who had a seal coating company. Like the black top that they put over parking lots and driveways and all that. Yeah. I was working towards being a partner with him. Like, I was a lead guy in the crew, and we had just had a conversation about me being partners in the actual business. So I would like go out and I'd do all the work. He would bring the work in, do sales, and run all the back office stuff. I also had, because in the Northeast, that's very much a seasonal business.
Okay.
So I also worked, had another job where I worked at a gas station, filling gas and doing all that kind of stuff. I ended up getting hurt on that job. I got pinned between two cars.
Ugh.
So it actually wasn't as bad as people think. I was like, I had really good reflexes. So I jumped and spun to the side. So when they crunched me, he crunched my knees from the side. What's that?
I said it was bad. I still can't squeeze the knee.
but anyway, so after that accident, and that's so funny because when Sherry met me, I hadn't had that happen. I was totally healthy and had mobility. And then as, you know, the next time she saw me, I had my legs in braces and I was on crutches.
It was the weight of your heart. It was just so heavy. You couldn't support yourself anymore.
So he wore it well.
but anyway, so like I, because of that, it kind of changed the whole trajectory because I couldn't do the seal coating and stuff. I was basically off my feet. So fast forward like a few months and I got a job in the advertising department at what used to be Strawberries Records and Tapes. Okay. It used to be on the East Coast. I don't know if it went all the way down to like Florida where y'all are at. But it was like from Boston down, I think, South Carolina, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Anyway, I was in the ad department, and that was really cool. But that was around a time when CDs were digital was starting to come out, mm-hmm. and CD sales were falling and blah, blah, blah. So I ended up getting laid off from there. I got sick right after we got married, like really, really sick. And then I just kind of like went back after I got better over – towards the middle end of the summer, I went back to what I knew, which was the blue collar stuff. But I had actually gotten a job at the advertising department because I had gone to a vocational technical school in the early 90s.
Okay.
And I had done CAD drafting and that kind of stuff. So when I got out of school, I was actually a certified CAD operator, certified draftsman, and that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
It's just when I got out of school, it was a really bad recession. I couldn't get work and all that stuff. So kind of like when we first got married, I got really sick, went back to the blue collar thing. And then, just kind of like necessity, I was getting sick again towards the end of the 90s. Cause we had some health problems that we were dealing with, and that kind of meandered us into thinking about technology and the web again. And like not necessarily the blue collar work stuff I'd been doing.
Now, where were you? You said it was, that the ceiling company that was seasonal in the Northeast. So where were you at?
Oh yeah. So we lived I came up in Massachusetts for the most part. And then Sherry and I, when we got together, we lived in Rhode Island, a little city called Woonsocket.
Okay. And so how'd you end up in Atlanta?
I actually wrote a post about it. I just wrote it this morning. I got to publish it. So Woonsocket is an interesting place. The Washington Post did an article about it, like calling it the boom bust economy.
Okay.
It's a mill city. It struggles really bad economically, and it's super, super working class, really hardworking people, but the city is like just struggles really bad. There's not really a lot of opportunity there. And we had been grinding away there and all that. We had some friends who had relocated from a couple other nearby mill cities to Atlanta. And I used to talk to them on the phone and stuff. And then one of the times I talked to one of my friends, he used to be a plumber, pipe fitter, and then he moved into tech when he was in Boston, in a city called Worcester, outside Boston. And so when he was in Boston, I think the tech thing was challenging for him there as well. When he finally made the move to Atlanta, within a short period of time, it really changed things for him, and he did really well on the tech side. So he had been talking to us, and he's like, guys, you really, 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 really got to go check out Atlanta. He's like, it's like nothing you've ever seen.
Especially for a black
guy and a interracial family. He's like, I can tell you all this stuff, but he goes, but we're from the same place. You're not going to believe me unless you see it with your own eyes. And then a friend of ours from Florida had to say the same thing. One of his visits to us, he's like, yo, y'all got to check out Atlanta. It's like, y'all would do so well there. So we ended up ultimately, we rented a tiny little U-Haul trailer, took only what would fit in the trailer truck, and then, my browser just timed out on me. We took only what would fit in that U-Haul in our truck, and we gave away the rest and sold what we could and came down to Atlanta. We had never been here before. It was just like, yeah, that was 2012.
Okay.
And we started from scratch. Like, we had gotten rid of all our furniture, just like everything. It was the best move we could have ever made. Like, I look at it and I'm always saying to people, I wish we had done it like 10 years earlier. I wish we had just said, fuck fear, do this way back when, because it's something like we're super fastidious when it comes to like research and knowing it. So it's something like we had done years of research, but never really pulled the trigger and did it. So we like made the decision to just do it.
And financially, it was getting a lot harder up north for us. Yeah. There was not a lot of opportunity for us at all. And it was just getting harder and harder. And we're like, if we don't do this now, it may be too late. We may be out of business before we have a chance to even give something else a shot.
And then the recession was like, crushed the area. Like, I mean, there was just like, people were losing their jobs left and right. Houses were just sitting there empty everywhere. It was just really, really tough.
And then when we came here, it was a totally different, totally different.
It was like a whole new world. Like,
yeah, it feels like a rebirth of our business just everything. It's been really, really wonderful.
Yeah.
So Sherry, if we back up to when y'all got married, what were you doing vocationally?
I had just graduated high school.
Okay.
So I was figuring out what I wanted to do.
Gotcha.
And the plan was to go into hairdressing.
Okay.
Because I was from a small town, and that's like, we didn't really think much about going far outside of our town. So there was like some salons, and I liked doing hair. I always did my cousin's hair since I was little and they were little. And
okay,
that was a thing that I liked that was creative and fun. That's where I was kind of headed when we met.
You know, there's a somebody that I met, Carrie Haber, from Visa. She said to me at breakfast one morning at one of the camps, she said, choose courage over comfort. That will make all the difference. And what you just described, like, had you gone into the hairdressing, had you done those things, that would have been the comfort, right? Well, I know how to do that. I can take care of it. But y'all packed up that little U-Haul and drove to Atlanta, and you chose courage. And that's just, every time I hear a story like this, it makes me think about her saying that. And I'm just blown away at what it must have been like to cross the little city limits, not knowing where you're going, and just heading to Atlanta. So you get there. Now, had Fly Media Productions, was that already a thing? Did you start that before you took off?
So that's a good question. So when we started Fly Media, it was way in the early 2000s. So it's basically like probably a 12 year.
Yeah.
Before we left Atlanta, we had been doing it, but I had been working other jobs at the same time.
Okay.
When you said like crossing the limits, that's so funny. Cause when the night we left, we had been spent all day packing, and I was delivering furniture to people and giving stuff away. So we were driving all over. It was pouring rain. But it was like perfect. The most optimistic I'd ever felt. Oh yeah. It was like a scene from a movie. It was surreal.
We were literally like giving furniture to people, like handing furniture to people, packing the truck, cleaned up the apartment. It got dark. We got in the truck and we drove
and
down.
We drove
and Ruben just drove
like, straight through the night. Like
it was just,
it's crazy. It was, but it was like amazing too. Like I was still on much adrenaline from the whole thing. Yeah. And we were so excited to get there. When we got about 3 hours away from Atlanta, I started to crash. We stopped at every rest stop and I went to sleep for 15 minutes at a time. And I kept like, okay, I'm super tired. We got to pull over. We pull over at a rest stop and I'd like, and we'd park and I'd sleep. And that at a certain point, Jeremy's like, this is getting ridiculous. Just stay in one spot and sleep and then we can drive all the way there.
Must make progress. Must make progress.
Exactly.
That is so funny. So how do you, this is the other part of the story that's just amazing to me. So you have a friend who says, oh, you really got to try tech. And then you just do it. Like, I think about how I can't code. I can't design. I can't do any of that stuff. Yet I started a web shop because it seemed like it would be cool. And you go from the blue collar stuff to just doing tech. Like, what is that process?
Well, you had, Ruben had a little bit of a tech background
with the cat.
But we didn't really have a lot of choices at the time. Like, we both were dealing with health issues and we needed something that would allow us to be able to work from home.
Okay.
That was like the biggest motivators. Cause like for me, I was starting like, so I was born, I keep seeing health problems, but I was born with a pretty rare immune disorder. So I was born immune compromised.
Oh, okay.
And I have some other things I deal with too, but it started rearing its head and like, working the really physically intensive jobs was starting to take a toll on me physically. So I was starting to like, you know, a lot of time out of work and there's no benefits. So you're not working, you're not getting paid. So I was starting to deal with a lot of stuff like that. And the friend that we were talking to, he worked from home. He had a normal schedule. Mm-hmm. Like he wasn't, you know, he wasn't frazzled all the time and stressing all the time. And so like I was paying attention to that and the money was pretty good. And like we needed something else. And I kind of like we wanted different and better, but we really wanted to spend a lot of time together still and all that. And then finding out that was actually possible in tech.
Yeah.
I think that was the biggest sway for us. It was creative, excuse me, and it was possible to do. So it kind of like that was one of the big motivators because I had been doing at a point in our, like, I think it was 2000, 2001, I'd been working CAD at a company.
Right.
But I was also running CNC machines, like all my CAD drawings, I'd set up the machines and all that. And I started getting sick just from the little bit of exposure from the stuff, from the machines. And it kind of like sinks it like, okay, we got to do a thing that's going to be better for us. And I think that was kind of like one of the final pushes that said, we're going to make this work. We know we can do it.
And when he told us about it, I don't know where my role was supposed to be, but I was absolutely not interested at all. I didn't know. We didn't even own a computer. I didn't know anything about computers, never mind coding and all that stuff. But somehow design came into the picture. I don't even remember. And that interested me. Okay. And then I started to learn and play around with that. And I was like, okay, I like this. This is fun. I can get into this. And that's kind of where we went, where he took on the coding side of things and I took on the design side of things and we just worked together.
Cause that was one of the things I didn't like about CAD too. I didn't get to like, I'm super creative and it felt like as much as I had loved CAD in school, the stuff I was doing for the packaging industry, like was not creative at all. And I like loved magazines and music and fashion and all that. And I'm like, and then when I found out like you can do that in the web, I was like, why have I been so dense? Why have I been so resistant to this?
Well, and so you start in the early 2000s. When I started my company, it was 2003. So you get going and the name Fly Media Productions, right? So talk about how you decided that's what we're going with because you own it. I mean, that's the thing. You can't be Fly Media Productions and kind of do a couple of things. You got to own it if that's who you're going to put out there. So talk about coming up with the name.
Wow. You asked some good questions. You seriously asked, because you know what's funny? Ironically enough, that wasn't our first name.
Okay.
When we started, our first name was more of a reference, an homage to surfing. So it was Liquid Web Imaging and Design.
Oh, there you go.
And I'm Mr. like long talking person. So I have this name that's like 5 years long. But like Sherry was never feeling that name, but she agreed to it because she was supporting the whole vision. But we ended up, I think it was around 2003, right? Or was it a little after?
Fly Media?
Yeah.
I think it was. Yeah, maybe like, yeah, 2000. Yeah, I don't know. It was a few. It was
years later.
Somewhere yeah. around there, we did yeah. the Fly Media and we wanted something like, okay, if we're going to make this work, we're going to come out really strong right out the gate as us 100%. We didn't really have a model of a company we could pattern what we wanted to do after. We knew in our heads what we wanted to do, but there was nothing like out there that we saw. And it was like, we kind of saw it as a mashup of like what Kimora was doing with Baby Fat, what we saw with Juicy Couture, what we saw with a bunch of other brands kind of mashed together. And then we really like had been digging on like Razorfish and some of the brands like that that were in digital. And we kind of like.
I think it was more accidental, the name.
Yeah.
Wasn't more accidental.
Well, Sherry, were you able to get on board with that name with Fly Media a lot easier than you were with the Liquid Design or whatever the long name was?
Yes, definitely. I can't remember. I have a horrible memory, so I apologize. I can't remember if Fly Duo came first or Fly Media Productions came first.
I think you're right, Sherry.
But Fly one Duo. Of the designs we had done, Ruben put at the bottom in the signature. He said another Ruben and something similar to another Ruben and Sherry Fly Media Production or something like
oh.
that. And I was like, what? Why is that not our name?
Yeah.
It was either something like that or Ruben and Sherry Fly Duo Creation. I think it was Fly Media, Ruben and Sherry Fly Media Production. And I was like, Ruben, that is amazing. Like, that's a company name.
There you go. So what happens with the clients that you're attracting when you shift from that first name to Fly Media?
That was pretty easy because we didn't have a lot of
clients. So if you don't have any clients, there's no big shift. But you know, there's something about when the founders of a company, like the two of you, when you find that you're proud of yes. what you're doing for yourself yeah. versus when, and this happens to a lot of companies, you come out with what you think will be effective versus what you want to be a part of.
Well, that's what Liquid Web was. That was, we tried to do it by the book, kind of like what we thought was expected of the industry. The only thing that we didn't do 100% by the book was our style was always very different. We always wanted to do something unique and creative and editorial. But everything else, like how we ran the business and the type of clients we tried to get, it wasn't us. So when we changed to Fly Media, it felt like our happy place. Like we were at home on the web and it just was so much easier to talk about what we were doing, talk about the kind of projects we wanted to be involved in. It just made everything easier.